Tony's saying about T. Martin has some merit in that. What worked the last time to bring us back, and that was Johnny Majors coming back to Knoxville after a national champion, after the opportunity to build a dynasty at Pittsburgh. Johnny would probably be one of the most heralded coaches in college football.
Here's my difference, though. You're talking about a head coach coming back. You're talking about a head coach coming back from a national championship. You're talking and a guy who had won at Iowa State and at Pittsburgh, so he built up two programs.
Yep.
You're talking about a guy who's never been a head coach at the collegiate level, bringing him here and giving him this job. I don't do that. I don't believe
but
in that.
About,
I don't
what,
do that.
What about David Cutcliffe, Tony? What about David Cutcliffe?
What about David Cutcliffe?
What do we should we get on the phone and call?
Cook's not going to leave Duke.
To Duke.
Coach Cook's not going to leave Duke.
I don't think he would either. I think Duke's too good of a situation.
Duke, yeah, definitely.
Why would he set this pressure cooker?
Yeah, he's set at Duke, and he's turned Duke program around, and he's not going to leave Duke.
Yeah.
He's not going to leave Duke.
I'm just saying, is there a Tennessee somebody out there? I mean, of course, obviously, Gruden has a heart for Tennessee and has spent time in the program, so he counts. But, you know, I don't know how realistic that is either. But you got to call him. I don't know. It's just it's we're between a rock and a hard place.
There's no question. There's no question. This thing is between a rock and a hard place. No question.
And we've got some talent because they've shown it at times. And you know, Butch uses the word individuals a lot, and unfortunately, that's how they play. They play like individuals.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch.
It must be really hard to play offense in his system because you can't succeed. You can't succeed in that system. You just can't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tony, thank you for the therapy today.
Thank you.
And we're going to need it all next week. So.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, I'm not going
I know you can't go into the 19th hole every day, but, you know, we'll need a couple of them.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, brother. See you. Welcome. Glad you're home.
I'm glad I'm home, too. Thank you. 865-200-5402. Tony, you do want to make a point about the coaching staff, no matter who gets hired, and I think it's a great one.
You know, I think we need a guy that's played at UT. He knows UT football. You know, we don't have one over there right now.
And you're talking about any staff member.
Any staff member, man. You know, we need somebody.
We don't have any VFLs.
No VFLs.
None.
You know, none.
It's like it's almost and like. That is, they hold that against people almost. It's weird.
It's almost like if we bring one of those guys in, they may tell us how we need to be doing things. You know, those guys know what it's supposed to be like. You talked about Butch Jones. It's almost like the mentality is Tennessee football is what it was under Dooley, and they're doing a good job because it's a little bit better than that. If you have Jay Graham in there, if you have one of those guys
Randy,
in there,
I mean Randy Sanders.
You have one of those somebody, guys. They're going to tell you what Tennessee football is.
I mean, it's just saying, you know, somebody.
Randy,
well, I'm
Randy
just,
Sanders'
I'm just,
name.
Well, Randy, he's
Oh boy, Randy Sanders' name just came up. It's time.
Man.
It's quitting time.
It's quitting time.
Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. But Bobino's point is well taken. Butch Jones gets up there and preaches to our fan base. And really thinks that he's really done something here. He really does. He really does. And his seasons, Tony, in your era, are C-. The last couple of years, these are C-minus seasons.
Yeah.
He hasn't even won a division in a weak East. He hasn't even come close to winning a division.
There's no two divisions.
Right.
There's only one.
Right.
So, you know, you got to beat everybody you play. You got Florida, all these teams. So it's not like you're playing half over here and half over here. Only one guy can go. You don't have a second chance.
Closest Butch Jones would have gotten in New Orleans then was Mardi Gras.
Did it make you guys as sick to your stomach as it did me early on when they had the trivia question? And it was, when was the last time Tennessee won or went to, I guess it was won an SEC championship? And I knew the answer. But when they showed 1998, that's three decades ago. I know it's not 30 years, but it's three separate decades
ago. You can lose your way. Hey, listen, Nebraska's totally lost their way. yeah, you can lose your way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why we as fans cannot forget what Tennessee football really is.
Yeah,
we're in danger, though. We're in danger of going to Nebraska land. We really are.
We're on the edge. We're on the edge, man.
Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. 865-200-5402.
Oh, my.
And before we get our next call in, by the way, I'll give you one more trivia question. When's the last time Syracuse sold out a home football game?
Donovan McNabb.
It was the Vols in 1998. Donovan McNabb and your guy, T. Martin. Squaring off. Let's go to the phones. How about that, Bino? It's been 20 years since they've sold a football game out. Talk about losing your way.
Do they have Keith Bullock? No, who was
they
it?
They did. Okay.
Was that, who was it?
They did have Keith
Bullock. At the same time? That,
yes.
that was a squad they
and
had
And Donovan
up there.
Darius. They were insane. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome to our next call.
What's up, Tony? Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian, welcome in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, you know, I was thinking, man, my kid's 15, and that kid that called earlier, you love the excitement. You know, it's like the old skit on Saturday Night Live, the Bears versus so-and-so, the Bears, the Bears versus so-and-so, the Bears versus the Hurricane, the Bears. That guy had his Vol glasses on, so can't blame that kid for that. But I thought, man, my son is 15, and he sounds like me. That little boy needs to come to my house and watch some Decade of Dominance. He needs to read some books. He needs to look at what's hanging on the wall. You're exactly right. We can't go back to the Dooley days and say, well, we're better than there. My 15-year-old, I just wondered, why in the world was it different? It's because I've given him that history, and I'm going to sound like those dads that can't stand bragging and pumping my chest. But I thought, you know what? I'm dang proud that I got a 15-year-old boy that's saying, listen, the Dooley era, bullcrap. I want my dad's era back. I want to – where's this T. Martin stuff? Where's this Tony Robinson stuff? Where's this things we're watching YouTube clips on, Dad? I've never seen that. The poor kid also says, and did we really have a basketball team one day? I said, we really did, son. We really did. We're losing a generation.
No, we've lost a generation. Like, I'll tell you this. My son's going to play golf in college, and for the longest time.
By the way, congratulations on that, man, and awesome to your Eagles and your son, Tony.
Well,
for the
longest time, he didn't want to, and I said, but Anthony, you're going to leave here, and you're not going to get to see the Vols anymore, and he said, exactly. And I thought to myself, you know, that's really terrible. But he said, Dad, he said, they have tortured me.
Yeah.
You know? And they have.
Yeah, because he's like mine. He's around
it's
you,
torture.
So he knows the Decade of Dominance. He's seen the DVD.
Yeah,
he's
it's torture. It's torture. I mean, he's grown up knowing Tony and some of these other guys that have come down here. And, you know, the bottom line is – it's time to make Tennessee great again. It is.
Well,
he just asked me,
he said, Dad, none of my friends care. He said, and it's funny because I do like this. He's a lot like his old man in this point, which is funny. And again, I feel, and I'm going to take a shot at poor Jeek. I feel like Jeek on Jeek Jr. here. But I am proud of this. He's like, Dad, I don't want none of my friends coming over because they don't get it. Well, no wonder they don't get it. They don't get it because they don't realize what they're expecting to go. And my son's expecting that 98 and beyond and 2002 and beyond. Literally, at his age, he should not be able to say to people, we should never heard of Fulmer. He was two when Fulmer was here, but he understands that's what's going on. So, yeah, man, I wanted to speak to that. You're right. It's not just like this is a little deal. Our sons are going to be you and I in the next little bit, man. We've got to get this we're off here. This shit turned around, Tony. Love you, bud.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, Bino, my son's 18 years old. He's never seen Tennessee do anything.
Well, I mean, once again, Tony, if you're escaping to go to Philadelphia, that tells you all you need to know about our program.
Bino, my man.
865-200-5402. Corner 16, ladies and gentlemen, is at Bob Kirby. And it is an absolutely sweet spot. And the folks at Calhoun's have done it again. And T-Rob, I'm going to take you out there because they got some great stick-to-your-ribs food out there at Corner 16, Broad.
Corner 16?
You better believe I'm going to take you.
Oh, yeah. Let's
you
go.
And me are going to go out there and eat this week, and you're going to give me a full report. Let's go back to our phones.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say to our next caller, welcome to your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction presented by my man Marcos Garza and your Garza Law firm. Hello and welcome in.
It's Eric from Hendersonville.
Hey, E, welcome in, buddy.
Hey. Yeah, I was listening a little earlier when Alex said that you know, maybe we need to trot Butch out there to get the whipping on national TV. But the thing is, he's already got the record for worst road loss in UT history at Oregon, and he's got the worst home loss. So, you know, there's nothing really from a milestone standpoint, there's nothing really to gain by putting him out there. It could be Dennis Franchione 77 to nothing Oklahoma style, really, when you get down to it. It could be that bad.
No, I get your point. I was just saying to make him kind of feel some of that torture that we've felt all year.
All right.
Why don't we do a thing where if they don't at least cover the spread, we peroxide his hair like the old wrestling days, Tony. Or have a haircut match or do something just to make it interesting.
Just make it interesting, yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe Jimmy Himes something. And John Adams get to shave his head from either side in the post-game press conference.
With the chainsaw?
Yes.
But at the same time, with all the pride being damaged of all of our – we had the all those people came back last week, and then you had the Tennessee Hall of Fame and all that, and they're just dying for something positive to happen. And you know, right now, where are we as a program? And it's like, you know, South Carolina is 6-4 in the last 10 against Tennessee. Vanderbilt's 3-2 in the last 5. These programs are essentially interchangeable, and we are a mediocre 6-6 program. Last year with, you know, if we didn't get a couple of breaks, we could have been 6-6 last year. I mean, Butch is selling the best case, but not the worst case. Did he say today that we're two plays away from being 5-1? I mean, first, we're also two plays away from being 1-5.
No, he stopped that. He's got the same. I'll give him credit now. He knows what's coming. He's walking the plank. He didn't point any fingers today. Well, he didn't talk about his back pocket. And here's the problem with him. When you did that stunt that he did with the media a couple weeks ago, and then your team does not score a touchdown in 2 football games, 10 quarters, because he was worried about what he saw with UMass. And he's a defensive guy, and he knew this team was sick. He knew this was coming. That's why he acted defensively. Now that you've got a chance to think about it, don't you believe, my friend from Nashville, that there's some truth to that? The guy knew what was coming. He knew
it. He's doing everything he can to put the emphasis or focus elsewhere, not on his team, not on him as a coach, but on the boogeyman in the media for being too hard on him. And Feinbaum, you know, ripping him for saying, look, you know, this guy has done a great job of lowering the expectations. And here's the thing. By keeping him as the coach, you're reinforcing that perception. If they fired him, like what was it, Miami? The day after Al Golden got 58 put on him by Clemson, yep. That was it. Larry Scott coached yep. The rest of the year. He was not a candidate to be brought back, but they just need somebody to fill out the conduct yep. practice and whatever, and they got a real coach. And the same thing could be happening to us right now by basically announcing to the fans and to the recruits and the current players, we will not accept mediocrity. And unfortunately, by having him go out there and all shucks, we're gonna work like heck. Maybe we'll win the next one. No. I mean, if he knows that it's over and everybody else in the room knows it's over, then why go through it?
Alex, I put what was your name again? Eric, I put my fist in the air to you, my friend, and I say amen to you. I 1,000% agree with that. At some point, you got to walk the Haslams over to the pond, and you got to, like the Lion King, let that shadow come back at them and say, we are not what you're trying to make us. This is not the Cleveland Browns here. We have standards. Fire this guy tonight. Fire this guy tonight. Enough is enough is enough. We've all had it. Put him out of his misery. Give us some relief. Put an interim coach in there. Nick Saban's not going to beat an interim coach to death. He's not. And he probably isn't going to beat on this guy. In fact, it's not going to surprise me if Nick Saban comes out of the tunnel next week with a Keep Butch Jones T-shirt on that some of the South Carolina fans were wearing today, Tony.
Oh.
There were South Carolina fans
see,
in the
Butch,
game
Keep
with Keep Butch Jones T-shirts on, Tone. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
Though. Yeah, Tone.
Keep Butch. Oh,
I'm going to get you one.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked. It worked.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
Bino, your thoughts on that call, then we'll go back to the phones.
No, I thought he hit it on the head, Tony. It's be on time. I don't know if it's going to happen Sunday. I don't know if it's going to happen Monday. I don't know if it's going to happen in a week, but it's going to happen. And your mention about the all the Fighter Butch Jones T-shirts over there in that stadium don't mean as much as when your opponent walks out there and they've got Keep Your Coach on their T-shirt. If that's not enough for our guys, I don't know what is.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. It's a sickening turn of events. Bean, I'm going to give you a number right now. The high water mark of the Butch Jones era was last year when the Vols started 5-0. They had it absolutely going. His team turned the ball over 6 times at A&M, still had a chance to win. They had a penalty called. The ball was put on the 1-yard line, an opportunity to go for 2, but no. He tone-deafly declined it, took the extra point. And Alex Myers, what is Tennessee's record since the A&M football game?
It is 6-8 if starting with the Texas A&M game if you don't count the bowl. That's just regular season. So regular season games from the Texas A&M game on from last year, 6 wins, 8 losses.
And if you count that bowl game with A&M, more power to you, 7-8. 7-9 after next weekend, or 7-9 or 6-9 if you don't want to count the bowl game. But 7-9 in 16 games – it's quitting time. There's an old country song, Bino, for that. What is it?
That's the wrong genre for me, Tony, but I'll help you out if you've got any, like, 60s and 70s R&B stuff.
There's an R&B song for that, Bino, an old R&B tune for that. What is it?
An old R&B tune for that. I don't know, Tony.
Like, I Wish It Would Rain? Let's go back to our phones.
Hey, Tony,
yes.
does anybody think, and I know we took a beat down against Alabama last year coming off of that killer stretch. Did anybody think when we were going to Columbia, South Carolina last year off an open date that we would be sitting here less than 1 year later in this situation?
You better believe it. Good night, sweetheart. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Take this job and shove it. It's quitting time. Let's go back to our phones. You're exactly right, Bino. That's an incredible stat Al just brought to the table.
Yeah.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. How y'all doing today?
Hey, appreciate you being there. Thank you for being on the Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
This is Randy from Georgia.
Hey, Randy.
I'm going to tell you, the last 2 weeks down here have been brutal to be a Tennessee fan. But anyway, Butch got to go. Bino, let me ask you a question, though. You watched the game today, I think. And let me tell you what my turning point was. When we were 3rd-and-1, Guantanamo got under center. I said, oh, my, all right, we're going to run a quarterback sneak, get a first down, and keep the drive going. And what does Larry Scott do? He calls for a spin-out pass, and Guantanamo gets tackled for a 9-yard loss. We punt. They get it on the 4. They drive it 96 yards for a touchdown and turn out the lights. The party's over. Why in the world? What kind of play calling is it when you got a 3rd-and-1, you finally get under the center like you should, and instead of running a dive or a quarterback sneak, you sprint out pass and get killed. I mean, what is – Larry Scott is pathetic. And I'm telling you, that was one of the worst moves Butch made, was to put him as OC when he could have put somebody in there who knows how to call a ball game. But it's just like his ego. It goes right back to Butch Jones' ego is bigger than his mouth. And I don't know. It's so hard to be a Tennessee fan right now.
You know what's crazy, Alex, Bino? Is that Butch Jones, we made fun of him when he said he had the best staff in America when he brought all those guys from Cincinnati and a couple of retreads from Georgia. And that was the best staff in America, like I'm the sexiest broadcaster in America. But I'll tell you this right now, Randy in Georgia, I am dead serious. That first staff was better than this staff right now. His first staff that I made fun of is better than his staff in year five. Now, you couldn't have convinced me that prior to the beginning of the year, but this staff right now, I'm telling you, this staff right now is Chinese torture watching these guys. Alex, am I wrong? His first staff is better than this staff, yes or no?
I certainly think so. I mean, even the last offensive coordinator, you look at what they're doing. I haven't seen a score update, as we're going to get you those in a minute. But Michigan, I believe in Indiana, where DeBoard is, they were going to overtime. I mean, these guys have had success after they've left, but the common denominator, Butch Jones at Tennessee, they've been the ones left behind.
And that guy that they let, Larry Scott, that wide receivers coach they let him hire, that guy is a debacle. But I told Bino some stuff back in the summer about him. Bino, how right is that stuff that we heard about him based on the way we've seen these receivers play?
Yeah, I think they may be the worst unit on the field, and there's absolutely no excuse for that to be the case, Jennings or no Jennings. And, Randy, you're exactly right. That was the turning point in the game. And Butch Jones, this is Butch Jones's offense. His offensive coordinator was always going to be someone that went along and ran Butch Jones's offense. And you're right, you can't take a guy that hasn't been a coordinator and put him in this league and expect anything other than what we're getting. We've got a Mackey Mouse offensive staff, and unless somebody on our schedule has Goofy as their defensive coordinator, we're not going to score any points.
No, it's pitiful. It showed Shoup and Larry Scott sitting next to each other in the press box, and I told my son, I said, you know, if I was Shoup, I'd probably just reach over there and just slap the absolute shit out of that offensive coordinator for some of the stupid play calling that idiot calls.
Randy, what'd you think of that one in the second half, our second drive? We get down there, we're going right through them like it's nothing. Kelly is just red hot. It's before they made their adjustment of putting eight in the box. At that point, we still haven't spread out. They're still honoring our deal. What did you think of them letting Josh Smith throw that pass back to John Kelly? Is that not the dumbest thing you've ever seen?
I thought I was watching a high school game. That's the kind of shit the high school teams run. Not Division I major college teams. I mean, all that to me is telling you that we don't trust our offense enough to just pound it down their throat. We got to trick them.
Right. And that's my – it's like you're pounding them. You are pounding them. Who does that? Who doesn't look at the situation? But it's like, you know what? Okay, guys, we're in play 11 or play 12, whatever play it was. We got to run this. It's play 12. It's like Jerry Colquitt told me when Butch Jones first got here, and it's a great line. He said, this guy, when they used to hurry up in his first couple years, everything was hurry up, hurry up. He goes, let's hurry up and run another bad play. That's what Jerry called me one day and said. Let's hurry up and run another stupid play. It's very true. It's a very good way of putting it, and it's very true with some of these modern offenses.
Well, it's not worked. It's like Bino. I've heard Bino say. Obviously, Josh Dobbs made our offense look good for the last 2 years, and since he left, we're terrible. And I'm gonna tell you, I don't blame it all on Garantano, because he can throw the football, as we saw on that last drive. Now, I understand they went a pre-bent, but I'm gonna tell you now, he threw some absolute darts to those receivers and got us down it with a chance to win. But I don't understand before that why we didn't take some shots downfield. I mean, he only threw 10 passes until that last drive, and all of them were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I just don't understand it. That's why I say Larry Scott is awful.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. And, Bino, I'd like to solely blame Larry Scott, but I know this is the Butch Jones show.
Yeah, he came in here. He fancies himself an offensive specialist like a lot of the guys are in this spread era. He's not. He's an average offensive mind, and yet he refuses to recognize that and hand this offense over to someone who could really make the most out of it.
Bino, we've got a score update. presented by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Earn 1.75% on a free checking account, CMB. Visit CMBTN.com for details. And here's Alex with our score update. And the score right now is recruits 2, Butch Jones nothing, as two recruits have scored on Butch Jones today. And who was the first one, Alan? Who's the second one? Go ahead.
Hey, first one was, I believe I'm saying this right, Tyke Ogle-Kellogg, used to play at Alcoa. He says this on Twitter, quote, "I tried committing to UT back when I got the offer and Butch wouldn't let me, ... He did me a favor because they're struggling now." Lynn J. Dixon, I think he said he's a four-star running back commitment. Quote, this is from Twitter 28 minutes ago. "I've made the decision to reopen my recruitment to all schools. I prayed and thought hard on it and talked to my family before making this choice. Respect my decision."
We still have W, Lynn J. But we don't.
Well, but we just like W. Lynn would say, would like, this recruiting's going south.
And Butch Jones's outlook is like the blank. It's looking blank, like the blank house.
Real bleak, real bleak.
Blank house. Tom, we'll have to go over there for a reenactment, me and you in the blank house. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200. Somebody said we played like a W. Lynn. Somebody's cracking on W. Lynn.
Blair.
You can't crack on W. Lynn, right?
No.
You're not a guy on that, are you?
No. I'll agree with that one. You can't crack on W. Lynn. He's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah.
Got a great love for Tennessee, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Tell you what, Tony, I got a great love for you.
Same
you,
here.
Hey, listen to me now. You get grease on that microphone, and you know what you and me are going to do?
We're going to fight.
And guess who's going to win? Guess who's going to win?
You?
You better believe it. You know why? Because they call him Cousin Batuli, and I hit like he does.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You believe me?
Yeah, which can't see.
You already said you.
Well, if Butch Jones is in the Ramier studio, Batuli won't be playing, so that won't be an issue.
Let's go back to our phones. What a great line. You're full of lines today, man. You remind me of the offensive line coach from the Dolphins. Let's get our next
call. Well, I am off the white.
Hello and welcome in to our next caller.
Tony, what's up, man?
Hey, welcome in.
Sam from up here in Beano's neck of the woods. Listen, another Saturday in the Vols, another just total disappointment. It's just so frustrating, like you said. It's torture. These past, since I can remember, you know what they should do? Like you said, they should go ahead and pack his stuff and tell him to go ahead and go tonight. And they should let John Kelly coach this team. I mean, that guy, and that's, you know, that's who you hate it for, you know, and like you, like being, you know, we all bleed orange. We're going to fight for this team and we love the players. You know, yeah, a lot of people might have said they, you know, we're looking for them to beat it just so we could show him the door. But we're always going to pull for the Vols. And I tell you what, to see a guy go out there, you know, when all this crap and just go out there and just bull his way through these teams, I mean, it is something to see. And I tell you, you know, these past years we've had some great, great players come through here. And they should take Butch's money and they should give it to the women's soccer coach. You know, we have a number 8 women's soccer team. They're number 8 in the nation. I don't know if you knew this, but they play their final home game against Florida on the 22nd. So I think some people should rally behind that team for sure going forward.
Coach Penske, hey, I'll say this. Coach Penske's my boy. He's been on my daily show a bunch. I love him. I'm a little mad at him after our U.S. team didn't get through qualifying. I hold him partially responsible for that. But I do love the man nonetheless.
Yeah, I went to the Georgia game, and they just dominated them. Getting back to the team, so we know it's finally going to happen, like Beano said. And let me just say, man, you know, this has been so frustrating and such torture, but listening to you guys, I listen on the VLZ, on the TuneIn app. I listen try to listen every day, but Jason Swain and yourself, y'all's shows are just fantastic, and it really, really helps out, to go through the motions, because it's been just so depressing. And like you said, you see it in spurts. Like, you'll see us go down the field, we look amazing, and then all of a sudden we just, it's like we can't even do nothing. And it's so frustrating, man. He has the talent. So it's going to happen, man, and hopefully it happens tonight or tomorrow.
Well, really? I mean, why hasn't it happened? Where's the tweet? Where's the tweet from the University of Tennessee that he's been removed and relieved of his duties? Already. Let's have some freaking pride, and let's say this. We had 97,000 people in the stands today. As Alex, who's taking a little pizza break here, just said a moment ago, Tony, look at the Orange Bowl and grab your mic and move it closer to you. And how many people you think are there? I mean, it's not the Orange Bowl anymore, but where they're playing down there, where the Dolphins play. How many people does it look like in that stadium, Tone?
97,000.
15,000? 20,000, maybe? 25,000?
No more than 30, man.
I mean,
no
what did I miss here? What did I...
That tells you about the fan base.
What did I miss, Tone? And by the way, Tone, Garantano slammed his helmet down at the end of that game.
Oh, yeah. That's,
now, are you going for that?
No.
We're just watching a replay here. Tone got mad.
You don't do that, man. You don't do that. Win or lose, you know what I'm saying? You got to keep your composure. You got to keep your composure, man.
But he's young.
He's young, and he'll learn. He's going to learn.
But he's passionate, you know?
I like that, too.
Yeah.
And you know what? These guys stepping on people's foot. You know, I wish somebody would step on Butch's head or kick. You know, somebody needs to punch him because it's just a joke. He's turned us into an embarrassment, man. And we're like a laughing stock. So, Tony, both of y'all, Bino, you know, we were at a crossroads. We bring in Curry. It's kind of like at the damn boiling point, and it's going to happen. Do you have faith in Curry?
It's not his call.
I'm going to say it to you right now. They showed the graphic. The last championship we won, who was playing quarterback, who has now been an offensive coordinator, has experience coaching. He can get everybody behind him that has come through and slapped that damn sign that says, I will give my all. He has all these guys behind him because he led them to the top. He had the best team we've ever had. He is now a coach. Bring him here. Make him the damn head coach. Why can that not happen? And why cannot people get behind that? And I'll listen to you off the thing. But, you know, go Big Orange. I love you, Basilio. And bring T home. Make him the head coach is what I got to say.
Thank you, my friend. I love T Martin, but I want a head coach that's been a head coach. And Tony's for T. Martin. That's his number one choice, and that's cool. And we can agree to disagree in this room right now.
Yeah,
Tone.
You know, he's never been a head coach.
That's right.
But he's proven that he's a winner. He's a winner. And you know, you can't take that away from T.
And he's a great recruiter.
And he's a great recruiter.
He's beating us heads up for some kids. He's got a great reputation. Yeah. He really does.
He does.
And I don't have any doubt he's a future head coach. Yeah. I've got no doubt.
He's
going to
be, yeah. And it would be nothing like him coming back home to UT for his first head coaching job and, you know, give the man a chance.
He's well loved. And I'll say this. If they hired a guy like him or VFL, Bino, here's my one thought. Because here's what happened to Butch Jones where he got sideways. When he started picking fights with the players in the offseason, former players, I knew that was it for him. Because you don't do that. T. Martin would unite that faction. And we were looking at Miami and their success. And one of the things I know from talking to a guy down in South Florida that Mark Richt has done is, and Michael Irvin's on their sideline right now, he's tapped back into the root of the tradition of that program. And let me tell you something. That's a wellspring. That's a big deal. And if you get a guy like I'm not gonna, I'm gonna argue against myself here again, but just because I'm not afraid to think out loud, the one thing about T. Martin that would intrigue me is he would bring a lot of the guys, Beano, back onto the reservation who right now will have nothing to do with Butch Jones, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, Tony, and I'm not going to criticize anybody's candidate for the next head coach, because the truth is, there's just unless you get Kelly, or unless you get Stoops, or unless you get Gruden, there's nobody out there that I think is going to have a big swell of support initially, as far as fan approval rating goes, but. My personal opinion is we don't have a coronation candidate that's ready. I think that Cutcliffe is too far down the road. I don't believe T's far enough down the road. I think this is too big a job for him right now at this point in his career. So it's going to take someone to do a really good job of evaluation and getting the right guy in here, or either they're just going to have to get Bruce Pearl lucky, one of those two things.
865-200-5402. Yeah, and that's what happened in basketball. Tennessee got lucky with Bruce Pearl, and then he got too powerful, and they ran him. Al's going to have a quick scoreboard for us coming up. We've just learned that Butch Jones was down 2-0 today in recruiting, or he lost 2-0. He got shut out in recruiting. He hadn't scored a touchdown there in a while either, Bean Star. He must feel like Rick Barnes at this point. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. Welcome into our next caller. Hello.
What do you say, Tony?
Hey, Philly.
How are you? Tony Ross is my favorite player of all time, Beano and Axton.
How you doing, man?
I love you, Tony Robson. You gave me some good thrills.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. I'm glad you had a good time.
I still remember that Auburn game. You would have won the Heisman. I mean, you should have won the Heisman. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, Philly.
Guys, I'll tell you what. How much longer are we going to have to wait? I mean, it's getting crisis time over here.
Philly, I believe we're within 8 days, max.
8 days? So you're going to let Bush be inflicted for loss to Alabama?
If it doesn't happen tomorrow, I believe it'll happen a week from tomorrow.
Well, we can't afford to let it go on too much longer. We're going to lose the whole recruiting class. I mean, I think if you get we need to find somebody that's not a head coach somewhere else and have them ready to go in December.
You know, it's a great – Philly, this thing here, I mean, what the hell was that today, Phil? What was that?
A pile of slop, Tony. You ever seen bad coaching?
You know, Philadelphia, I was actually pretty pleased with our team's effort, especially after hearing how splintered everything was. I don't think we can question their effort whatsoever. It's their direction that's wrong. It's their direction that's missing.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear anybody blaming the Tennessee fans like I've been hearing for the last 2 weeks. I mean, anybody go over there and watch that garbage today, more power to them. I mean, that's how good a fans Tennessee has.
We have the best, okay? We have the best fans in America. There's not a fan base in the country that would go out and see a team that hadn't scored in 6 quarters going into today and now 10 quarters. And I'm telling you guys, if the Alabama game was at home next week, and thank God it's not, because Alabama, Tony, they would have 40,000 people in our stadium, but we would still have 95,000 people in that stadium. It would just be a bunch of their –
It'll be a bunch of theirs.
Mouth breathers. I hate those people.
That'll still be there at the end, in the fourth quarter.
Bammer Jammer, all those necks.
Oh, man.
Thank goodness I didn't hear next week. Butch Jones's, that would be Butch Jones's funeral. The revolution will be televised.
You know,
Saban's not going to run it up on Tennessee.
No, he's not. He's going to have a Keep Butch T-shirt on next week when he comes out the tunnel underneath his uniform.
Did y'all see the Fine Bomb show last night?
I did not.
There was a guy who had a Fire Butch Jones poster on in Tennessee hat on down there out in the middle of Georgia country with a Fire Butch Jones. So, I mean, I think Paul Feinbaum even knows he wants Butch Jones out of here. I mean, of course, it's UT grass. I mean, hell, John Gruden's the man in town. I mean, heck, fired Gruden. I want Gruden bad, baby.
What do you think Gruden was sitting there telling his son during that game when he was whispering to his son when they did that stupid throwback? Well, you think John Gruden's looking at Tennessee's use of their personnel?
They went back to Sandlot football then.
I guarantee you he's sitting there saying to himself, what in the world is this?
Sandlot.
Because there's just no excuse for it, man. There's just no excuse, Philly.
Yeah, how long are you going to be on tonight, Tony?
Philly, that's a great question. Hopefully not much longer.
Well, I mean, Bino usually goes to bed by 10, don't he?
Yeah, Bino's. And that reminds and that reminds me, Bino, are you ready to roll, man? Because I'd like you to have, I'd like you to stay with us, man.
Tony, I've got about 30 minutes left in me if you need it.
I always need it, brah.
All right.
You know that. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Again, 865-200-5402. Al's got some scores coming up. We got a thriller with Miami and Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
LSU has crawled closer to Auburn, and the wacky weekend in college football continues as South Carolina comes to Neyland Stadium today and upsets the Vols. Welcome to our next caller. Hello. Yeah, hello to our next caller.
Tony.
Yes.
Love you, man.
Love you. Thank you.
Listen, this is the most, and I'm going to use the word, piss-poor coaching job I think I've ever seen. This year watching the Vols has been my most frustrating year ever, I think. I mean, in the first half, when he could have used his receivers, he did not. In the second half, when he was desperate, what did he do? They knew what was coming. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's actually stupid. And you're right. It's frustrating. Here's what's frustrating. When I watch Ty Chandler play the game, and Bino, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, that's a playmaker. Figure out a way to get him the ball. Am I wrong? And how about this? Throw the damn thing downfield. You got a strong-arm quarterback. Take three steps and throw the thing. It's not that hard. And if it's intercepted, then it's intercepted. Or incomplete, whatever.
We came out in the first possession of the second half, and we completed two passes, and it was still third and four. I mean, they were playing three completions as a first down in the backyard. This dink and dunk crap that they play is impossible to watch, and it's impossible to be good enough and on point enough to score any points with it.
No doubt about
it. He's wasting his talent. It's all he's ever done that I've seen. He gets these recruits. How is he this great recruiter? And he gets these recruits and wastes their talents. I don't understand. It's frustrating.
Stupid. And it's unacceptable. And you know what I don't understand? And I'm being serious. People think I'm just trying to stir people up here. Why was this guy not fired after that Georgia game? It makes me so damn mad. You had the incident with the players on the field. You had the deal with the quarterback. And I'll give Dormady credit. Dormady was over there encouraging Garantano today when he came off the field. I will give Dormady a lot of credit, Tone. Let's point that out.
Oh.
Let's point that out, Tone.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I told you, I talked to both of them today. And I told, this is what I told Dormady. I say, keep him up. You know what I'm saying? Talk to him. Keep him encourage him. And, you know, help him. Help him out. Help him out. His first start. And Dormady was a good sport. Good guy.
And this is
he was like, hey, I got him.
And he quit earlier in the week. And that's okay.
That's okay.
Everybody has their moments.
Yeah. I quit one time. I even quit. You know what I'm saying? I quit. I went home.
See?
You know, I was.
But not many people know that, Tone.
I know. But I'm here.
That's exactly right.
I'm here. You
know it's not.
I'm
it's
here.
How the game ends. That's exactly right. And I give that kid a lot of credit. I give that kid a lot of credit for that.
One other thing, Tony. My dad and I were watching the game. I said, look, you know, Butch has no respect in the locker room. His players, if they're getting in fist fights in the locker room, this and this, no. And we also spoke. I said, man, Dormady stood up on that play, and he was supportive. But my opinion, Butch Jones, he acts like he's a this, you know, this, he with his, but there's no real respect for him in a lot of ways. With all that talent, I don't know. It's just misused. He's not a coach at this level. Maybe another level, but not this level.
Yeah, he's another coach. He'd be a great coach down at Halls High School. Thanks. And I'm even sure he could do that. I'm being serious. Butch Jones is terrible. He's terrible. I mean, he's so mismanaged this thing. He's wasted so much food, and it's a shame because he's a really nice recruiter. And he's got a really nice personality in the living room, which allows him to be successful. And he's not afraid to roll his sleeves up and work. And those are qualities I appreciate. But with a headset on, he is a zero. He is a zero. He needs the Barney Fife microphone. Alex and Beanstar, and Alex, I'll start with you. ESPN just put a graphic up on Butch Jones and the 0-3 in the league and the zero touchdowns for 10 quarters, we know. But by there, this is one of Beano's favorite things, by ESPN's probability tracker, Beano,